we're going to be today, our scripture is going to come from 1 Corinthians 16, if you want to turn there. And we'll spend a little time kind of hopping around. If you've got your bulletins, you'll see where all we're going to go today. But 1 Corinthians 16 will be our main verse of scripture. If you are someone who's visiting with us today, my name is Zach. Welcome to New Heights. We're glad you're here, especially on a day that is kind of snowy out there. So I promise not to preach too long so we can get out of there and make some snowmen and stuff like that. But if you are visiting with us, I'd love to meet you today. I'll be hanging out in the foyer when we dismiss. Please come by, say hello, give me a chance to meet you today before you take off. And you know, 2025 means some pretty incredible things for me and for my family. It officially marks the 25th anniversary of my high school graduation, which makes me feel really old. That was a quarter of a century ago. It's the 20th anniversary of my college graduation class. And if you're doing the math, yes, I squeezed 4 years into five on that one. Additionally, it is also the year that my oldest son will turn 15, Shelley. He's going to be 15 this year. And even though he's been a teenager these last 2 years, technically speaking, there's something about 15 that feels more like an official teenage year. Does anyone else agree with me on that? Like 13 and 14 don't really count. 15 is something official. My youngest daughter will enter kindergarten this year, which means that she will now be the last of my children to not be in all-day school, will be in all-day school this year. And when I turn 44 in December, it will mean that I have officially spent more of my life out of my parents' house and in college dorms, stuff like that, more time living independently than with somebody, like as some sort of a dependent. In short, what it means is that I'm going to be an adult this year. And I appreciate your laughter, because technically I've been an adult since December of 1999. But somehow, I guess I feel like I've never really officially become an adult. Is there anybody out there that can relate to that? Like you just sort of feel like there are certain milestones that you need to hit or certain things that you need to do before you are an official adult. I've always sort of considered myself a young man. But it's funny how time flows so quickly and you don't realize it's done that. For example, it's funny to me, like when new couples come through the door, and I think if it's a new young couple, I'll think, oh, great, cool, you know, someone my age that I can talk to. And I talk to them and I find out that they were born this side of the year 2000. I'm like, oh, I was in college when you were a baby. I don't know. It's not that I don't know that I'm an adult. Obviously, I know that. I've been aware of that. I've been married for 20 years. I have four children, one of whom, like we said, is in high school. And I just paid our second mortgage on a house that we now own. So I guess that what I'm saying is that while I understand intellectually that I'm an adult, I guess I just don't feel like one on the inside. And again, I wonder how many of you can relate to that. Maybe you're someone who's been waiting for certain things to happen in your life before you consider yourself to be grown up. Maybe you're waiting until you're debt-free, or until you have a child, or you're waiting until your car is paid off, or until you own a home instead of rent a home, or until you're X number of years out of high school before you consider yourself an adult, or insert arbitrary life goal or circumstance here, and then I'll feel like an adult. I remember when Jesse's sister, who is just a year older than me, she was born in 1980, I was born in 1981, and she announced a few years ago at Thanksgiving that she was pregnant with her first child, and what a big deal. She was the first one in our family to announce that, and that was such a big deal, and it felt like that was a few years ago. In reality, it was a lot longer ago than that, because this Christmas, her son, that baby, announced that he and his wife are expecting their first child. Does that make me an adult? That I'm going to be a great uncle or a grand uncle or what? I don't know what you call it exactly. I just know that it launches me into some category of greatness that regular nieces and nephews didn't do. But I guess I'm an adult now, is what I'm saying. And the point of all this is that My New Year's resolution this year is to grow up. And I'm kind of throwing them all in there. I want to be, you know, debt-free by the end of the year. I want to be, I want to lose weight by the end of the year. I took my kids, my daughters to the daddy-daughter dance last night. Boy, I'm out of shape, and I didn't realize how bad it was, you know. I'm ready to, whatever it is, eat better, exercise more, wake up earlier, study my Bible more. I'm trying to fit it all into this one category of growing up. And it got me thinking, could the same be said of the church? You know, some churches are doing just fine. They report good numbers, high attendance, lots of baptisms. They make plenty of positive changes in the lives of the people who attend or in the communities that they are settled in. Others are struggling with what it means to be the church. They're more focused on what they want to be than on what God wants them to be. And my question for us today is, where does New Heights fall on that spectrum? I think one thing that we really have going well for us here at New Heights, from my perspective anyway, is that when we do have new people come in, we receive them well, and we have a strong youth program for such a small church. We have a fully staffed nursery and a full children's worship hour. We have activities and learning opportunities for children and teens, you know, in the evenings and throughout the week. And I'll tell you honestly and sincerely, I have never worked with a group of elders more committed to ministry than the elders here at New Heights, or as I like to call them, the Council of Bryans. We've had visitors come and stay, and Christians that were newly baptized in the last year that have added not just to our number, but also to our family. And I feel like we're focused on what God has called us to be. Still, as we come to the end of a new year, end of one year and the beginning of another, I guess it would do us all some good to stop and just take a moment to examine ourselves and see if we really are on the straight and narrow, as it were. And if not, let's examine what that should look like and discuss what we need to do to get back on that path. So our sermon in a sentence today is that it's time for new heights, look at that, to reach new heights. It's time to take new heights to new heights. And notice there's an exclamation point there instead of a period. That means we're excited about it, right? So, it's time to take new heights to new heights. Go ahead and get that written down if you're taking notes. And let's invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of our time together, if you'll pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for a new year here at New Heights. And while we're excited to get back into our discussion of the book of Luke, I think before we do that, I just want to take a few moments to consider where we're at as we begin this next rotation around the sun. So, Father, pray that you would show us if we're truly on the path that you've laid out for us, and if not, convict us, call us back, and help us to once again take up the journey with Jesus. May your Spirit convict us and lead us home, but also pull our heads and hearts into today's discussion to reveal to us what only he can show. Father, we love you. We pray in Jesus through faith. Amen. So I don't know about you, but my personal favorite time of the year is kind of that week between New Year's and Christmas, especially kind of depending on where Christmas and New Year's actually fall. During that time, you know, the kids are out of school. The family that you rarely get to see is usually much closer, not too far away. There's lots of great deals out there for people who like to shop. All that leads to the office being a little slower and a little easier to get away from. That's been nice as we've been settling into our new place and getting settled in. We've officially lived in our Cambridge City home for a little over 2 months now, but it's been a lot of unboxing belongings and hanging new pictures up and, you know, putting together furniture and things like that, and otherwise, you know, making the house a home. And that downtime has helped as we've kind of been working to unpack the boxes that we'll need moving forward. And if you're anything like me, when I do this kind of work, I like to have something on in the background, whether it's a podcast or a radio station or maybe even a TV show or a movie that I know very well, I like to have some background noise on while I work. And, you know, I have a handful of movies that I like to cycle through. That won't surprise you. You know I like movies, and it won't surprise you to know that those movies are usually from the 80s or the 90s, and it really won't surprise you to learn that, you know, they're usually action movies that I'm watching. And in this case, I was watching The Karate Kid, which is a movie that I've seen so many times I could probably quote it to you verbatim. But there was one quote that I'd like to share that even though I've heard it countless times, it took on new meaning for me as I was, you know, as I said, I'm hoping to kind of get my life back on track a little bit. It's not that we've been super out of whack, but as you know, we've been kind of commuting last year, you know, back and forth from Greenfield all the time and managing, you know, three different addresses at one point in time, selling the one house and renting the other and trying to buy the third. And for a while, it just kind of left me dizzy. It left me wondering about the type of person that I am and the man that I want to be. And am I the man that my family needs me to be? The follower that God has created me to be, the leader that the church needs me to be, and the servant that Christ has called and equipped me to be. I've been thinking about that while this movie is playing in the background. And there's a moment in the movie, those of you who are familiar with The Karate Kid, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, where Mr. Miyagi invites Daniel into his shop to see his bonsai trees. He's very impressed with what he sees, these trees here, and he's impressed. He asks Mr. Miyagi how he cares for the trees, and after a bit of explanation, Mr. Miyagi invites Daniel to try clipping at the trees himself, and he tells him to empty his mind, picturing only what the end result of the tree he'd like to cultivate will be, what that will look like. And when he opens his eyes, Miyagi asks Daniel, "Did you remember the picture?" And he says, "Yes," and so he hands him the pruning shears and tells him to trust the picture that he's created. Before beginning, Daniel asks, "How do I know if I have the right picture?" And Mr. Miyagi's answer struck me particularly hard that night. He said, "If come from inside you, always right picture." In other words, Mr. Miyagi was really inviting his young friend to consider not just the kind of tree he'd like to trim, but really what kind of man he wanted to be, what kind of life he wanted to live, what kind of legacy he wanted to one day leave behind. And after hearing the answer, Daniel got to work on his tree. And I've said, as I've said previously, I'd like to get to work on mine. What kind of tree do I want to create? What kind of life do I want to live? What kind of man do I want to be? And I can answer that one pretty easily. In fact, there's a scripture that perfectly encapsulates what I'm trying to do. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. Paul says, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love." It's one of those passages of scripture that we often ignore because it's at the end of the book. And usually it's just the writer kind of trying to wrap things up. They don't really, you know, say anything of much significance, or so we think. And then we run across a gem like this. Can't you hear Mr. Miyagi saying something like that? This is the type of man that I want to be. I want to be a man who is on guard, looking out for others, someone who represents the faith well, and whose advice and counsel can be trusted. I want to be the type of person who doesn't back down or flake out when the going gets tough. And yeah, I want to do everything with love. I want to be the type of person that you're excited to see when I walk through the door. Whether it's been 5 minutes or 5 years since we've last seen each other, I want to be that guy. I want to be somebody that people know that they can depend on. And if I say I'm going to be there, or if I say I'm going to do something, then I'm going to be the guy that shows up. Instead of being 5 minutes late, I want to be 5 minutes early. I want to be there. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, that when I became a man, I grew up and I gave up childish things. I put those childish things behind me. Growing up means that we're willing to do what it takes to leave spiritual immaturity behind us and embrace God's calling for our lives. He chastises the Christians, Paul does, in 1 Corinthians 3 for their immaturity, saying that he could only feed them with spiritual milk because they weren't ready for solid food. They weren't ready for meat. Peter tells his readers in 1 Peter chapter 2 to crave pure spiritual milk so that they can grow beyond it to mature. Paul encourages the Corinthians in chapter 16, which we read just a second ago, to be courageous, but I wonder if your translation says something different. If anyone's here and has the ESV or even the classic King James, your translation says, instead of be courageous, it says act like men. Boy, that's a problematic phrase today, isn't it? Isn't that something? Well, I got to wondering, what does the Greek actually say? And the Greek, what we translate a whole phrase as one word in the Greek, I'm going to try my best. I think it's enrizathē. I think that's how you say it. But it literally means to act like men, and it's talking about, yeah, male adults here. Someone is going to think that's a pretty caveman thing to say, but I love it. Kind of makes me want to go back in time with the club and hit a saber-toothed tiger in the head. I don't know. Remember those insurance commercials with the cavemen? I always thought those were... Never mind. Let's just keep going. What Paul is saying here is that we ought to man up in the faith. In the Greco-Roman world, this phrase was often used to encourage bravery and determination. Not limited to men, of course, but applicable to anyone who needed to demonstrate strength and resolve. In this world, Christians, men and women alike, need to demonstrate strength and resolve. We just finished a sermon series called Now More Than Ever. We talked about now more than ever. We need some light. We need some good news. We need some, you know, we need Christians to be on their A game. Now more than ever, we need to realize that we live in a world that needs God's help. Rather than rehash everything we talked about, we basically said, again, that God's people need to be on their A game because we know the ruler of this world is certainly on his. We've seen what he's been up to here lately, and it's clear that he's come not just to play, but he's come to win. You know, Brian was sharing a little bit this morning about that conversation we had this week. And man, he's right. There's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world. We've seen a school shooting recently here in the Midwest. The guy that drove his truck into that crowd at New Year's Eve in New Orleans. It was a vehicle that exploded in front of Trump Tower. Shows me, again, that the world needs the church to be at its best now more than ever. And I think with this going on, I know of churches that are out there that are still nitpicking over various things that, again, I'm glad that here at New Heights, we've largely overcome and gotten away from these things because, again, the world, well, one of our sermon titles, Brian, was Now More Than Ever, the world needs some good news. And we are the people to bring that good news to the world. Speaking of movies, another one to consider these days would be Adam Sandler's classic Billy Madison. It's another movie that I have trouble specifically recommending as your preacher because there are some things in that movie that we would maybe say, nah, probably shouldn't do that. But the overall story of a grown man working his way through every grade from kindergarten all the way through high school, it's funny to consider as a movie, but if that were happening in real life, that would be that would be a guy who was hard to respect. Not that we, you know, people go out, they get their GEDs. I think that's wonderful. That's a totally different story from what I'm talking about here. I want to make sure that as a church, we're not still trying to figure out how to graduate elementary school when we should be showing people the way to Jesus. We should be setting an example for the world to follow. And the prophet Micah gives us something of a checklist of what that should look like. He says in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Three things on that list here. To do what is right, to love justice, your translation might say, are we standing for justice in our community? When we see things happen that shouldn't be happening, are we standing against that? Are we helping when people need a hand? Are we ministering to the marginalized? Are we keeping our eyes open for people who are having a rough day or who might need a little assistance or even a listening ear? I was walking through the Walmart parking lot the other day, and there was an older gal who was trying to get her groceries into her vehicle, and it did. I was totally oblivious. You know, you see things like this. But a little boy came up and asked if he could help this lady, and so he got all of her groceries for her into the car. And I thought, what a good young man. She pulled out a $10 bill to give to that young man. And then I thought, man, if I was just a little bit more on my game, that could have been me. But the young man refused the payment. He said, nope, I'm just looking out for you. Have a great day, and scampered off. I thought that was the neatest thing I'd seen in a while. Some good news, Brian. Second thing I see Micah tell us to do is to love mercy. This is a little bit harder to define because people don't always need mercy from us. Like, we're not always in a position to offer mercy. Like, I'm not a judge, you know. It's not something that I'm told not to judge. But I think, you know, there is one person who showed mercy to me, and that person is Jesus. Can I reflect his love to the people that I encounter? Is there any way that I can act and behave like Jesus to the folks that I see every day? You bet I can. So I'll aim for that. And then finally, he says, walk humbly with God. To walk humbly with God means that I surrender my pride and submit to his leadership. And to remember that, for those of us who have given ourselves to him, we don't call our own shots. We live according to his will. And his will is stated for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to start a little further back than where we normally go here. In verse 15, Paul says, see that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now, again, for those of us who are here at New Heights, again, I'm proud of what I see. I believe that our people are genuinely more focused on building his kingdom than our own. At another church, this might be a very different sermon, but I think it's appropriate for us, again, to take this time at the end of the year or really at the beginning of a new one to reflect and ask ourselves the question, are we doing all we can to have an external focus? If you're someone who, if after being honest with yourself, finds yourself wanting in that category, I'm not pointing fingers, you let me know. I'd like to recommend some of our programs beyond just the normal Sunday morning that are designed to help with discipleship. We have, again, we have the Sunday night programs for all ages of teens and young people, and a Sunday night group that meets, you know, for the teens here at New Heights, and a midweek Bible study that's kind of, we say it's for adults, but, you know, teens can come too. We have a good time out there. A monthly ladies meeting that meets on, is it the third Sunday of every month, Carol, that we meet? There's a lot going on. I'm playing with this idea of a monthly men's breakfast meeting on Saturdays. Guys, if that sounds interesting to you, see me after class, because if we want to do that, I think that would be a lot of fun. I don't bring this up to shame anyone who's not coming to these things. I just want to advertise. These are some options that are out there. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. And I guess I can't speak for everyone here, but one thing that I will admit to, you know, and I have to subsequently work on this myself, is my own evangelistic effort. Now that I've settled, I've started inviting people. For that last year, it was kind of hard for me to invite people who lived in Greenfield to New Heights specifically. I'd kind of send them to other churches. But, you know, now that we're settled, I've been trying to do this a little bit more. And most recently, I was talking to a gal who works the checkout counter at the Dollar General store. She said that, with no idea that I was a preacher, she said to me that she's been looking for a church to go to. Where do you go to church? She could kind of just tell by the way I was acting that I went to church. I said, well, you ought to check us out over there at New Heights. And I told her we had good people, we have great coffee, we have a super talented preacher. We'll see where it leads. But, you know, I noticed that the Holy Spirit does that a lot. He kind of finds the people who need to hear what I have to say, and he puts them in my path. And whether I always recognize it or not, or whether I'm always faithful with those opportunities or not, is another story, but I want to be. Remember, he wants you to share his word, so I believe that we can trust that he's going to put those people in our path that want to hear it. So be sure to capitalize on those opportunities. Now, at the same time, I'm not saying we need to shoehorn the gospel or New Heights or how talented of a preacher that I am into every conversation that we have with people, shoving it down their throats, as it were. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying be ready when the Holy Spirit makes it clear that this is an opportunity to share. I want to revisit, before we leave, that scripture one more time. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, act like men, be strong, and do everything with love. Be watchful, staying alert and open for opportunities to serve others. Stand firm, committed to biblical truth, be strong, act like a man, and persevere through challenges, and be sure to do all things in love. Let him guide every action and decision. That's our challenge for this year, New Heights, to keep up the good work and to keep growing the kingdom. But I can't skip our three weekly challenges 2 weeks in a row. So here are three weekly challenges to help us focus on this main challenge. Challenge number one is to grow personally. We often talk about New Year's resolutions like there's something that we're doomed to fail before we start. Don't take that approach. Remember what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. We can do all things how? Through Christ, that's right, who gives us the strength. If we're doing this on our own strength, we probably will fail. But when we're partnered with Him, we can do all things. Honestly assess an area of weakness that needs attention. Work to grow through it. Remember, the plans of the diligent lead to abundance. Challenge number two is to grow corporately. So we have grow personally, and we have grow corporately. Grow corporately with us. Again, I'm proud of New Heights overall. We're not perfect. We have some room to grow. And maybe where we need to grow is somewhere where you can help us. And so I would encourage you to be a part of that growth. Is there something that we're lacking in where you can help, or any ideas that you have that might make New Heights a more kingdom-oriented and kingdom-focused church? Challenges that we need help with that we're missing? Come see me after class. Partner up with us here for your spiritual walk and see what the benefit of having a brotherhood of believers does for your spiritual well-being. And finally, challenge number three is to grow relationally. Relationships are what we're all about here at New Heights. We believe it's the sole reason we are created, to do a relationship with God first and a relationship with others second. We grow best when we allow ourselves to be part of something greater. So yeah, like we said before, grow with us corporately, but also make a close friend or two or three or four and include them in your daily spiritual walk. Hold each other accountable. Share your goals. Share your wins. Share your losses too. And share your prayer concerns and struggles. You'll be amazed by how beneficial relationships will be to your overall growth in Christ. For me, growing means in some way shrinking. I'll tell you what I mean. For those of you who know, I like to make jokes about myself, especially about my weight. You'll remember me having said things over the last year like, "But Zach, you caring but corpulent communicator of Christian characteristics." Or, "But Zach, you powerfully pungent pot-bellied preacher of patience." Or, "But Zach, you overly opulent oval-shaped orator of orthodoxy." Or even, "Zach, you enigmatically egg-shaped educator of eschatology." Yes, I have a tendency to poke fun at my own weight from time to time, which means, if nothing else, that I'm aware of it. This year for Christmas, my wife bought me an anniversary band to essentially replace the wedding ring that I accidentally broke earlier this year. It's a long story. It's a beautiful ring that looks enough like the old one, but is still a very clear upgrade. The thing is, she gave the jeweler the size that my wedding band would have been when we first got married, and I've gained a couple pounds since then. I was a much thinner man at 21. Well, I was a thinner man anyway. My ring size, much like the Grinch's Grinchy heart, has grown 3 sizes since then. And rather than have them resize it, I decided, you know what? That's just the motivating factor that I need to finally get serious about this. And so I've been wearing the ring on my pinky finger. I took it off to wash my hands, and it's still sitting there on the counter, which now you know how the first one got broken. But the point is I'm getting a little closer each day to getting it on and set comfortably. It's my hope that in the next month or two we can get that done. But in the name of taking my own advice, the reason I bring it up, feel free to ask me how I'm doing. Feel free to ask how much further we've gotten that ring down the line here. In time, I'm sure we'll get it to fit, but in the meantime, I'm excited to get it all done. Speaking of growth, we want to see New Heights do just that. And we invite you to be a part of that work as we grow, not just in numbers, but also to grow the kingdom in general. When I close my eyes and I picture that tree that Mr. Miyagi encourages Daniel to picture, when I picture about what New Heights could be, I see a church that's working in its community, that's offering something real, that has plenty of space to grow and plenty of opportunity. Connersville needs God's love. Amen? And as agents of that love, well, come help us grow it in 2025. God, if there's any, or guys, if there's anything we've said today that made you realize you're ready to take that next step, you're ready to join that family of faith yourself, and we'll baptize you today if that's what you want to do. Or if there's anything we said, you have questions about that, or you just want to connect with us before you make any kind of serious decision, get a hold of me this week. My info's in the bulletin. I would love to connect with you and talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus or to be part of the church. Until then, let's pray together. If you'll pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we trust your Son Jesus, and we look forward to the day that he's going to call us home to be with him. But until that day comes, you've given us a mission, both as a church and as individuals. And well, we would pray that your Spirit would help us to complete that mission. Work through us, Father, and may we never tire of being of use to your kingdom. We love you. We pray in Jesus through faith. Amen.